James chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 1 through 12, and considering the matter of the tongue. Watch your tongue. Caution, watch your tongue. Follow along as I read. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man or a mature man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? The answer is no. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we approach this important subject, we are reminded that we all have a problem in this area. And Father, we need to bridle our tongues. We need to live in such a way that we are under the control of the Holy Spirit and not trying to handle life and its difficulties and challenges on our own. Guide us as we look to your word. May we have ears to hear and a desire to put what we hear into practice in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As we've been looking through this series on communication, we've looked at already the rules of engagement. Be honest, keep current, attack the problem and not the person, act, don't react. We looked at that from Ephesians chapter 4. We also looked at James 1, can you hear me now? The idea that we need to listen. God has given us two ears for a reason and only one mouth. We need to listen. We need to learn, and especially learn from God's word, listen to what he has for us. And today we're going to be looking specifically at the challenges of the tongue and the power that we have at our disposal through our tongues. So it's important for us to understand as we head into this today, first the context. The context was really set forth in verses 1 and 2. Notice what it says, not many of you should become teachers. Doesn't that sound like an interesting way to start off for a pastor? I mean, we're always looking for teachers. And to have the pastor or the teacher James saying, you need to be careful. Not many of you should be teachers. I think we need to see here the reason for that. It's because many in the early church were hoping that through their teaching, they would gain notoriety. They would, through that position, gain influence. Really, it was driven by selfish ambition. They wanted attention and influence. And so James is saying, be careful. Yes, we need teachers, but in that position, I want you to notice the reason why he warns us. He goes on and gives the reasoning in the latter part of verse 1 and also 2. He says this, my brothers, you need to Be careful, not many of you should be teachers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And so he's reminding the people that are trying to gain through selfish ambition a place of notoriety, he's saying, you will be judged more strictly in that position of teaching. With increased responsibility comes increased accountability. And then he goes on and mentions this about we all stumble in many ways. Really, it's talking about we all sin in many ways. And if anyone does not sin in what he says, he is a mature person or a mature man able to bridle his whole body. So he's saying be careful because you have a greater judgment that goes along with your responsibility of teaching. And teaching gives you more opportunities to sin through the use of your tongue. If we are all honest this morning, we'll have to admit that we talk too much. You never get in trouble by listening. You get in trouble when we open our mouth. In fact, one pastor said that Peter had the greatest problem. He had a foot-shaped mouth. And the only time that that changed was just when he took one foot out and put another foot in. And how we need to be careful, because our words are often careless and hurtful. We wish that we could undo much of what we've said in the past. And the computer, there is a keystroke that you can use to undo what you've done. Do you know what that is? Control Z, I believe it is. Don't you wish that we could use the Control Z as soon as we let something out? Oop, just take it right back in. No, once it's gone, it creates havoc. Many of us live with regrets for what we have said. In Matthew 12, the Lord is talking to the Pharisees in this context. And he starts off his dialogue with them. He says, "Oh, you brood of vipers." And he says this, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Really, as we think about our message today, he's talking in the context of spiritual maturity. He's saying, you are mature if you handle temptations properly. You are mature if you can handle the trials in your life in a God-honoring way. Another way that you can show your maturity is in the use of your tongue. Your tongue is an indicator of where you are in your spiritual walk. For some of us, we may have been saved 45 years, maybe 50 years. For others, maybe only a few years or a few weeks. Really, the use of our tongue, it gives an indication of where we are and how much farther we need to go. The tongue is powerful. It is mighty. It impacts others for good or for evil. This week, we have seen the chaos that has come as a result of a bomb tucked away in a duffel bag. We have watched in horror as we've seen the scenes of these men very methodically placing those bombs there right in the midst of the crowd. And we look on with horror and with anger. But do you realize that in our midst, like someone laying forth a bomb in the midst of a crowd, we have a terrorist in our own body? People who don't watch the use of their tongue can destroy, kill, discourage, humiliate, and devastate others. And so this morning, I think this context and this passage of Scripture is very fitting about how we need to be careful of the tongue. You've heard of the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words will never, or names will never hurt me. Is that true? No, not at all. We can heal from the wounds, but we can't heal oftentimes from the wounds of a word that was said inappropriately. Words hurt for a long time. How about the little song, "Home, Home on the Range"? You can kind of tell where my life is lived and has been lived for a long time with Jason. I come in the room and I'll start singing that song to him. And the words go something like this, "Home, home on the range where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word and the skies are not cloudy all day. That one phrase seldom is heard, a discouraging word. How would that be descriptive of your home and your life? Or are you a discourager and spewing forth things that hurt through your words? Number one, as we look at this text before us, we find in verses 3 through 5, the tongue has great power. It's very obvious before us. It says this, if we put bits in the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at the ships also. They're so large and are driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. As we see, and we can just back up for just a moment there, you can see obviously you've been looking at that, or if you weren't, here we see that a small little bit in a horse's mouth can change the course of that horse's direction, can keep that horse under control. A horse is powerful. A horse may weigh a half ton or maybe even up closer to 1.5 tons. And yet someone 100 pounds can control that mighty beast through the use of that bit in the mouth. We look at a ship that may weigh something like 100 tons or 1,000 tons. And still that little rudder is giving direction to that ship that may hold hundreds and thousands of people, along with supplies and all that goes with it. A little thing can control something very large. The same is with the tongue, as mentioned in verse 5. The tongue is a small member, but boasts of great things. Webster's dictionary, when it gives the definition for a tongue, it says this, it's a movable muscular structure attached to the floor of your mouth. Now, isn't that interesting? Kind of a word picture there, a phrase there that kind of describes that. Phillips' paraphrase, kind of refers to this verse in this way. The human tongue is physically small, but what tremendous effects it can boast of. The tongue can be used for all kinds of things. It can lift up or it can destroy. Think Winston Churchill or Adolf Hitler. The tongue is a very powerful source. It can be used to encourage or tear down, to praise or to curse, to give thanks or to criticize. Think with me for a moment of a man standing before the judge, and that judge can either say guilty or not guilty, and it changes his life. How about a man and a woman standing before a pastor? And that young woman says, I do. It changes her life forever. Obviously for good, right? For good. But the tongue, what we say is very important, and it can change for good or for evil the course of our lives. The tongue has great power. Second, the tongue has the power to do great damage. Verses 5b and 6. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, Scripture says. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, and it goes on to tell, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. The tongue can be destructive. It can destroy. I was reading a sermon by a man named James Merritt, and his sermon was entitled, The Meanest Member in the Church. And he says this, the tongue is the meanest member of the church because it has killed more friendship, ruined more relationships, wrecked more homes, split more churches, driven more men out of the ministry, and caused more division between the brethren than any other member I know. And we can see just from the illustration that's used before from our text that a small spark, a small fire, as in the illustration in the next slide, it can cause a forest fire. Homes can be burned down. Whole communities can be devastated. We even saw the fertilizer factory that went up that was exploded in Texas, and we see the havoc that was caused. Let that be a visual aid to show us the destructive power of the tongue. The tongue has awesome potential for harm. At 9 o'clock one Sunday evening, October 8th, 1871, do you know what took place in Chicago? They say that Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern and as she was being milked, and it started the Great Chicago Fire. That fire blackened 3.5 miles of the city, destroyed over 17,000 buildings, and cost over 250 lives. But as I was reading about this, ironically, just up in Wisconsin, here in the Midwest, on the same day, a spark, an autumn spark, ignited a raging fire in the north woods of Wisconsin and burned for almost an entire month and actually took more lives than the Chicago fire. A small spark can create great havoc. And verse 6 tells us of the danger of the tongue. The tongue is a flame, it's a fire. And it does not give it in good descriptive words. It's a fire, a world of iniquity or a world of unrighteousness. It affects the whole body. It's from hell, it says. And James's words very seriously says, we need to be careful. It's like the destructive power of a bomb. It is not from God. It's from the fires of hell itself. Think gossip, slander, blasphemy, criticism, put-downs, boasting, lying, hateful talk. All of those are basically set on fire by our tongues. How we need to be careful. The tongue has great power. The tongue has the power to do great damage, to destroy. Third, the tongue cannot be controlled. Verses 7 and 8, again, another very descriptive passage. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. The illustration before us is that we have tamed so many wild animals. I mean, think about some of the animals that we have tamed that are in circus shows or whatever. Every once in a while, they will kind of show their true nature. But we, many animals can be tamed, but not the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. I wish I could have found some other things that would show this, but only God can tame the tongue. I came across a rather humorous cartoon that shows my humor in that, showing that we cannot tame the tongue. Though we're able to control wild animals, no one but God can tame the most ferocious animal of all, the one who lives in a den right behind our teeth, the wild animal of the tongue. Kent Hughes, in his commentary on James, entitled Faith That Works, says this: the uncontrolled tongue is deadly. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. And he uses the term or the phrase, we often are guilty of verbal cyanide. Like the deadliest poisons, he writes, those who are most effective are tasteless and odorless. Criticism, slander, and gossip are verbal venom or verbal cyanide that we let loose on people that don't know how to react. The tongue cannot be controlled. Number 4. That's all encouraging words, isn't it? The tongue is destructive, it's powerful, you can't control it. Well, I think this point kind of brings it all together. It says the tongue reveals something about our heart. Verses 9 through 12. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the image of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And James says, this just should not be happening. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and salt water? Some of these figures or some of these illustrations that we'll see here and before us, illustrations from nature, show us that a freshwater spring, when you go to fill up your bottle while you're hiking, You don't go to a freshwater spring and expect salt water. You know it's got to be fresh water to keep you going. A fig tree. If you go to a fig tree, you don't expect to have grapes on a fig tree. You get figs off a fig tree. When you go to a grapevine, you don't find some other thing like figs. You find grapes. And the point of the matter is that the tongue, the same thing. We need to be careful. It's an indication of what the source is. What kind of a source is it indicating? Is it pointing out a bad source or a good source? Our tongue should reflect good out of a changed heart. We ought to be reflecting blessing. We should not be displaying evil through our tongues, because that's an indication that our heart has a problem. And when we're displaying both good and evil, it's showing hypocrisy. In fact, Indians used to say, you speak with forked tongue. You speak on one side the goodness and blessings of God, but you speak on the other side cursings of others. We are deceived if we think that both can come out and be appropriate from the same mouth. And I want to take you to a verse that is really very good. The Lord Jesus says this in Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Did you realize that there was a direct tie between your heart and your mouth? There's a few things between there, but there's a direct line. Your mouth is an indicator, a barometer of what's taking place in your heart. If we're using profanity, if we are criticizing others, we're negative, we're abusing our tongues, do you know what it shows? That we have heart trouble. You won't find that from your local physician, but you find that from the Word of God. You have spiritual heart trouble if those are the symptoms, and it's indicating you better seek help right away. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart with all vigilance or diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Spiritual maturity is shown by the ability to control our tongues. Our speech tells us a lot about who we are. James 1:26, almost every chapter in James, he deals with the tongue or some matter related to it. We read this again. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart, and that person's religion is worthless. That's pretty humbling to read that, isn't it? And so this morning, what should be our response? I want to help you along. Here are four things that I think should help you as it relates to our response. Number one, we need to obey the great commandment, which is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we are not loving God the way we should, it is a no-brainer that we're going to be speaking it and indicating it through our lips. What do our lips and our tongue show? Do they show that we love God? Number two, we need to, and here's three blanks, daily draw near. Okay? We need to daily draw near to God. How do we do that? Through the study of God's Word and through prayer. Through the study of God's Word, He speaks to us, and through prayer, we speak to Him. We must be in regular contact with His Word. We must draw near to Him. If we're not, it will be no secret that our lips will be saying things, our tongues will be saying things inappropriately. Number three, we need to hold one another accountable in the use of our tongues. I know that that's kind of dangerous, and we need to have the right attitude with one another, but if someone comes up, and we'll talk more about this next week, and says to you, do you know about so-and-so? We ought to know how to respond and say, hold your lips. Stop right there. I don't want to hear anything else. We've got to just be so careful and help one another and be accountable to each other in the use of our tongues. Number four, we need to specifically ask God to help us to control our tongues. We cannot do it by ourselves. In fact, remember what it said? No man can tame or bridle the tongue. Only God can do that. We may have to go to a lot of people today and apologize. You may have to go to your mate or your children and say, I have blown it. I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. It seems like every Sunday morning gives us all the opportunity to control our tongues. If something's going to happen, it usually happens on the way to church or as we're getting ready. The devil loves for us to get in trouble in this area of our lives. If someone were to secretly record your words over the course of a day, would there be evidence in that recording that would show that you're a follower of Christ? How far back would they have to go in the tape? How many days back would they have to go to find out that you're a true follower of Jesus Christ? Would they have to go back all the way to Sunday? Or could they go back to yesterday's work world and see that there's a change and a difference in your life? You can measure a man's walk and a man's witness by his words. Today we've kind of talked more as a family of believers in Christ. But if you're here today and you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ, your greatest need is not to you to control your tongue, though that's helpful. Your greatest need is a Savior. And I'd like to just mention this, that you can never get your tongue under control if the Lord does not have control over you. And so we need to yield control to God first. That's really where it begins. And then He will help us and enable us to do what we cannot do ourselves. And really, that's how we come to God in salvation. We say, God, I can't, but You can. But that's how we are to live every day of our Christian life, with that same humility of heart. God, I can't walk this day without You and Your help. I'd like for us to read this last verse together as we close this message. May this be the prayer of your heart. In fact, I encourage the worship team as you come. May this be the prayer as we approach this last song. Read it together. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. You make it very clear. We don't have to dig down and wonder what the meaning of today's message is. We can see it very clearly before us. We have troubles with our tongue, and we need You to rescue us. And so, Lord, guide us today. May we go from this place and be careful, throttle, bridle our tongues, and use them for good and not ill. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.